Poetry is a high art and a hugely important part of the Western intellectual tradition. But I must confess that, although I have a few favourite poets, I never became a dedicated reader. We were made to study poems at school and to memorise and recite popular examples from an ancient book called Palgrave's Golden Treasury. It was a boys' school, and this was a painful experience for young boys. But I did enjoy the rhythms and the rhymes, and appreciated the fact that, unlike dates in history or formula in mathematics, poems were easy to remember. Some of those lilting verses have stayed in my head forever, like old familiar songs. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high or veils on hills. It's easy to remember, but hard to understand. Are clouds lonely? And if so, why? There were always plenty of other clouds up there for company, especially in Wordsworth's Lake District, where rain was usually pouring down on poets and prose writers alike. That was the problem. Our teacher never explained the uses of poetic metaphor, and we wouldn't have believed him if he had. Small boys are just not metaphorical creatures, they are prosaic and pragmatic. We quickly gave up the unequal struggle to make sense of poetry and accepted it as just another pointless form of oppression, like Latin grammar. When National Poetry Month comes around in April, I always feel guilty about my prosaic attachment to prose. I know I should take the sublime art more seriously, but all too often poets, like those clouds, just float above my head and rain on me. They often seem to be unhappy and want to share the experience. But if April is National Poetry Month, it is also National Humour Month, and the two things can go together very well. Most humorous poetry is dismissed as mere verse, but that's snobbery. You can find it in fine collections that feature the comic genius of writers like Lewis Carroll, Hilaire Belloc, John Betjeman, and Edward Lear. Who can forget the unfortunate eating habits of the walrus and the carpenter, or the obstinate little boy Henry King, whose chief defect was eating little bits of string, or Mr. Eliot's practical cats, each one with a vivid personality, or indeed the world's worst poet, William McGonagall, who in his poem The Great Tay Bridge Disaster managed to turn a real-life train accident into a comic classic. There's no need for poetry to be all about sadness and nostalgia. Shakespeare and T.S. Eliot embraced the full range, from funny to tragic and back again. Our present political situation is unfortunate, but it is also absurd. I hope that our wonderful poets will lighten up a bit and offer something more amusing, or at least moderately hopeful. More Billy Collins than Sylvia Plath, if you get my meaning. Today's world is not the most promising subject for humour, but in poetry, as in life, ignoring the rules is half the fun. This is David Brochet.